This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Overhauling, Pastor Scott speaks about how God wants to overhaul us, this meaning that God wants to improve, renew, and restore us. He focuses on how God always has our best interest in mind and knows what he is doing. This message was recorded on Sunday, August 9th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope! You guys on fire for the Lord? I see you fanning yourselves. You know, as a guy who likes to do things with his hands, I like to fix things and I like to try to make things look good. And that's kind of like what God is doing with us. And the title of this morning's message is Overhauling, because God did a complete overhaul of my life and it's not finished yet. Still going on. I'd like to show you a picture this morning, and it's like of a car, and I got that from Jaywin, and it's like looking pretty bad. And in this show Overhauling, these guys, they get cars and they take them apart, they strip them down, they take everything out, and they fix everything and they rebuild it and they make it look so nice. And the thing is, God likes to do that with us. And if you look at me today and you think like, wow, you know, Scott is still working on me. Of course, not my height, maybe my weight, but you know, he's working on my character, what I do for him. And it's an ongoing process. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. And I like that, man, because when I became in Christ, man, slowly by slowly, the old Scott was getting put on the side. And the new Scott was being made. You know, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we surrender to him, man, something great starts to happen, starts to take place. You know, when God gets a hold of a willing heart, a moldable attitude, man, nothing can stop him. Just as the potter shapes a clay, God wants to shape your life into something that he intended it to be. You know, for so many years, we lived conformed to the world. Let the world mold us, make plenty of money, get nice cars, nice houses, nice clothes, and own as much stuff as you possibly can. For so many years, we've been shaped by the world. And now when we come to Jesus Christ, man, all of that stuff gets pushed on the side. And finally, God starts to mold us. You know, it's not about stuff. It's all about him. Amen? It's not an easy, or it's not a painless thing, because it does hurt. But if you desire to be Christ-like, then we need to start letting God mold us. We need to start seeking God's will and not ours. Amen? In Isaiah 43:18, it says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. You know, I think when he was writing this, he was talking about, you know, when you're slaves in Egypt and stuff like that, don't recall those things. Because, you know, don't focus on those things. Look at the things that's going to be happening. You know, God, when God does things to us, or when he interrupts our life, it's for our betterment. It's for to transform us. You know, he was telling them, don't focus on the slavery of being in Egypt or the captivity in Babylon. God wants to overhaul our lives. I mean, you know, we a lot of times we talk about the past, and we talk about the past not to say like, wow, I used to enjoy those days. We talk about the past to show what God has done and how he has transformed our lives. And all the glory goes to him, because I can tell you this, I did not change by my own will. Okay? I changed with the help of God, and because I wanted to change and I wanted to do God's will. Amen? So that's what it is. You know, we cannot think, oh, life is tough now and go back to when it was easy and uncomplicated and when we were in the world, because it was wrong. It may have seemed great, but once you get the taste and once your life begins to change, man, you can look back and say, I thought I was really, you know, enjoying life, but in reality, it was terrible. Here's the point number one. God wants to overhaul you. He wants to take you apart. And, you know, your life may turn inside out, but he wants to take you apart and rebuild you. And if you look in the Bible, there's occasions where that happened to people. And one of the most famous ones I like is the story of Saul. In Acts 9, 3 and 4, it says, as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, Saul was just, if he was here today and he came walking through our gates, he would try and get every one of us arrested and thrown in jail. Probably beaten and because he was persecuting the church. And, you know, he was a Pharisee. He was just trying to get rid of all of us. And God wanted to do an overhaul on his life. God knocked him down, blinded him. And then he began to work on his life. You know, a lot of times, you know, when God starts working on us, man, it's like going back to school and relearning things. Man, I had to relearn how to talk to my wife. I'm still learning. You know, we have to relearn to think before we say things. I had to relearn to get up early, because I didn't like getting up early. You could have said I was like a teenager, just wanted to sleep all day and then get up at 5 o'clock in the evening and then go out all night. You know, God, I had to relearn so many things. And God had to break down so many parts of my life. I don't know if there's any part of my life that he didn't have to overhaul. You know, some of you may have good habits, but I had to relearn, and I'm still relearning. And he's still taking areas of my life and making the corrections and breaking it all the way down so he can build it back up again. In Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. You know, when God allows affliction to happen in our lives, when pain comes, it is to do us good. Understand that. Okay? God doesn't want to have affliction come in your life just to have you be afflicted. It's to do something. It's to refine us. You know, many of us have been reconciled to God as a chosen vessel. And God has begun something good in you. And it all started in the furnace of affliction. God didn't save you so that you could keep drinking, keep swearing, keep doing drugs. He didn't save you so you could keep doing that. He saved you so he could overhaul you, so that you could stand up and be a beacon, a light for others to see. So when they see you, they're like, what happened to you? You don't swear anymore. You don't drink anymore. Your actions are different. And that's why God wants to overhaul you, because he wants to use you as a chosen vessel to do his work. He saved me so that my life could bring him glory and honor. He saved me so that one day I could use my story to help others. That's why we call it a testimony. And God wants to do an overhaul on you. Number two, God uses many things to overhaul you. You know, like that car that you've seen? There's so many different tools used to make that car nice. And God has many tools that he wants to use to overhaul you. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, we'll stop right there. Though our outer man is decaying. We had a softball game yesterday. I didn't even play. And this morning I woke up and my legs are pain. They're very sore. And I was thinking, what happened? I didn't even play. How can they be sore? Then I realized that, hey, I practiced on Friday. And that was enough. My legs are killing me right now. I mean, I'm just trying to put on this front that I'm all happy and well for your sake. But I tell you the truth, my legs, they're in pain. My outer body is decaying. My shoulder, I was practicing in left field. Right? And when the ball came to me and I had to throw it to the infield, even if it bounced and it rolled, it wouldn't reach the dirt on the infield. Man. You know, it's like, what's wrong? I'll give you this. Okay? I am only 52 years old. Only. I feel like I can still do things. You know, I played basketball at Fun Day the other week, and I was hurting. It's like, what's wrong? My outer body is like, how, you know, I thought this would happen at 80. You know, but like, shoot. And so, okay, so while our outer body is decaying, yet our inner being is being renewed. So you see, this is like decaying slowly and slowly. The inside is going, yeah. And it's being renewed for, and then verse 17, get this, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Part of this means God is transforming us, renewing us through suffering. You know, Paul, you know, if you know Paul, he suffered a lot. And all his experience and all this, the whipping, the being in jail, the rocks being thrown at him. Catch this, he calls it momentary light affliction. Man, the way my legs feel, it doesn't feel light. The way my shoulder feels, it doesn't feel light. It feels very painful. But I guess he's comparing it to one day being in heaven with God. And compared to that, the things we go through, yeah, it is momentary light affliction. But it doesn't feel like it. But God uses this to change us. You know, like that car you see. If that car never got dented, never got rusty, it wouldn't have to be worked on. But God, you know, like that rust that little thing, that ache, that pain, the sin in our lives, God uses those things to transform us. You know, Hebrews 4:12, and I love this. This is another one. For the word of God, the Bible that you have, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and even piercing, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I mean, if you read the Bible, and if you understand it, and if you apply it, man, it comes so alive, and it causes change. Man, it does something because it's alive. It's like God is really just speaking to you right then and there through the scriptures, and it tells you what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. It's that powerful. And if you have never read it, I recommend you find a version that you can understand, and then you open it and you let it examine your heart, because powerful things can happen. And if you can do that, man, because God will use his word to start and to help overhaul your life. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, you see how you chefs, they get that big stick of steel and they sharpen their knives. The same way with us. When we come to men's ministry, when we go to life groups, when we go to discipleship classes, when we gather in our fellowships, God uses other people to sharpen you, to teach you, and to help overhaul you. And it's so wonderful. I mean, so many people in here that we do devotions with, God has used. Doesn't matter if they've been a Christian for 6 months or 6 years. God still can use them to sharpen others, sharpen me. And it's such a wonderful thing. You know, God uses people to help overhaul your life. And it's a wonderful thing. Number three, and God has your best interest in mind. You gotta know that. You know, he allows things to happen because he knows what's best for you. Listen to what happened in Acts 9:15. Okay, so Saul was going to Damascus. He had a reputation of arresting Christians and throwing him into jail. He's going to Damascus. He gets knocked off his horse or his donkey. He is blind. People had to lead him to the city. And he's there in his house and he's praying. And then there's this other guy called Ananias. And the Lord says, "Hey, Ananias, go and pray for this guy." It's like, wow. And in verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and for the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" You know, this guy didn't want to go. You know, and Saul was blind. And so Ananias, he did obey the Lord, and he went. Sometimes you feel like when you're getting hurt, or when you're suffering trials, you're like, man, sometimes you just want to curl up or want to just hide in a hole until things pass by. And for both of these guys, for Saul and Ananias, God had a purpose for them. I can tell you that Saul, he didn't want to be blind. And Ananias didn't want to go pray for this guy because he had a bad reputation. And for Saul, maybe he had to be blinded for a while so that he could feel helpless. Could you imagine if you closed your eyes and tried to leave here? That would be tragic. But it would cause you to depend on somebody. So maybe God had to do that for a while so that he could look to God, so that suffering was for a purpose because God had to break him down. Then Ananias, he had to trust God that, wow, if I go pray for this guy, will, as soon as he see, will he come and arrest me and throw me in jail? So I think God was working in both of their lives, and he had their best interest in mind. Jeremiah 24:7. I like how the God makes a play on this number, 24/7. Yeah? You know 24/7? When you think of 24/7, 365, you think of, wow, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But, and that's how you can remember the scripture, 24/7. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. And you know, when I was reading the Bible, and you know, you go through the Bible every year, and you think like, man, one year I was reading the Bible, and I said, God, why would you allow these wicked people in Babylon to take your people captive? You know, and I read, and I read, and it wasn't until later on when I read, and that scripture came up. God allowed the Babylonian army to capture these people, take them away. For why? You know, they would be in captivity. They would be in bondage. And then this is why he allowed that to happen. Because I will give them a heart to know me, for I am their Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole heart. And sometimes you see people, they stop coming to church and you wonder, why? Why? Isn't it great here? Don't you love it here? Really? Come on. You guys sounded like, man, yeah, I could have been at Macy's, you know. I mean, don't you like it here? Yes. Oh, yay, that sounds more like it. And some people, they stop coming. And you wonder why. Well, maybe God is going to bring them back someday with all their heart. I mean, that's what happened to me. I stopped going to church for a season, but then when I returned, I haven't stopped yet. I returned with my whole heart. You know, and God used, actually it was like I was absent for like 20 years, kind of long, yeah. Well, some of that's older than some of your children. And when I returned, you know, in those 20 years, my life was filled with turmoil, affliction, and learning valuable lessons at a very painful price. But then when I did return, man, he got my attention, and I returned with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And God kept me safe through all those years. He helped me learn a lot, and he had my best interest in mind. My people who probably went to church with me before said, why would he leave? And why would I go, you know, running from God? And why would I do all that suffering? You know, because the Bible says, you know, we're going to suffer. We might as well suffer for doing good than doing bad. Well, I suffered for doing bad, so why would I do that? Because God had a purpose that when I was going to come back, it was going to be full blast, full speed, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And you got to do this. You got to remember this. Remember, if you forget anything else, anything that I say, if you forget anything that I say to you, remember this. God knows what he's doing. Amen? Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. You know, God will do that. He's, when you said, yes, Lord, he started something in you. And he's not going to stop it until the day he comes back. Yes, some of us need more work than others. But God, who started that work in you, he's not going to abandon you. You ever started a house project and realized, like, man, I can't do this. it is too much, and you kind of abandon it. You know, I had a friend that I used to work with maybe 18, 20 years ago. And I drive past his house. And even before I knew him, he started a stone wall. And every time I drive past his house, that stone wall is still incomplete. He started a good work, but he kind of stopped. You know, God started a good work, but he's not going to stop. You know, I started doing a kitchen renovation at my house 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Can you imagine? 2 years ago. And I finally put on the last set of doors last week. Oh, it feels really good. I mean, and my wife must be happy, because before, to open this drawer, you had to kind of squeeze your hand in, because I made the drawer kind of small, the spaces. But now there's handles. Yeah, it's like, oh! And, you know, now the drawer is closed, and now there's a handle. And it's so nice. You know, 2 years in the making, and I'm 99% done. I just got to get a countertop on, and it'll be good. But God started a great thing in you when you said yes to him. And he's not going to stop. And if you keep allowing him to transform you, to overhaul you, man, it's going to be great. Are you allowing him? Did you surrender to him? John 3:30, and I love this one. John writes this, he must increase, but I must decrease. I think that's how they got that sticker, he is greater than I. You ever see those stickers? First time I seen that, I was like, what is that? Took me a while, maybe because I'm not a math person, and I was behind this car, and it took me like, turned my head, like, what is that saying? And then the light went on, bing, oh, I got it. He's greater than I. And I was like, wow. Then I realized that this scripture ties in perfectly. John said that he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, John was so satisfied with his ministry. And when they were saying that Jesus was baptizing more people than him, it didn't matter, because that's what his purpose was, to point people to Jesus. Amen? And that was a good thing, because you know what? God knows what he is doing. You know, he knows what his work is. He knows what he has to do to fix you. AJ, you have that picture? He knows what he needs to fix you, to take you from that old rust bucket to something like that. Pretty good. Yeah, I did that in my garage. Not even. That was Jaywin's thing, but yeah, I cannot take credit for that. That'd be lying, but that's kind of like what God is doing to my life. I am not there yet, as you can see. God is still molding me, still chipping off the bad stuff in me, still cutting away that stuff I do when I drive and somebody cuts you off, and, you know, all those kinds of things. God is still working on me, and I'm hoping that it will, you know, God will take that part away, because I don't like it when I drive. It's like that's my worst thing. It's like. Yeah, and I tell you all the stories, and every week it happens. And when my wife is with me, she reminds me, yeah, God is working on you. She reminds me, like, because every time I'm with her and we're in the car together, somebody is in front of me going 10 miles below the speed limit. And I was like, you know, and it's getting better and better. And God, who started that work in me, is slowly building, changing, transforming, molding, shaping. He wants me to be all that I can be, that all he created me to be. And the same thing for you. He didn't want you to save you just so that you could die and go to heaven. If that's the case, you said yes to Jesus, poof, you'd be gone and you'd be in heaven. No, he's saving you so he can mold you, shape you into his image, into something that he wanted you to be so that you can go and save other people. Amen? That's why he saved you and I. And that's why God is overhauling your life. And I can tell you one thing. The overhauling process is not a painless thing. It does hurt. You know, if you had a tumor and you had to cut it out because it was harmful, it's going to hurt, but it's going to be for the better. Amen? So some things might hurt, but you got to understand, God really knows what he's doing. You might not see it right then and there, but down the road, you will understand it and go with it. Don't fight it. I think if you fight it, it's going to just be more painful. Amen? You can put away your notes now. We're going to close the service. We have a video we want to show you, but before we do that, is Haley here? Yeah, Haley, can you come up? Haley is this year's recipient of our New Hope East Hawaii scholarship for our high school seniors who are going to college. And we are so proud of her. She's going to be going to college here. She had excellent grades. And she played soccer in high school. And I played basketball with her the other week in Fun Day. Man, she can body check really good. She just pushed me out of the way like I was a piece of rubbish. Maybe because my body is decaying and hers is still being built up. But congratulations, Haley. Give her a hand. You work so hard, and we look forward to seeing you successful in college. We're not going to have you do your speech. We give you a hand. Congratulations. Hey, one more announcement. Our New Hope East Hawaii softball team, they're most of them here. Would you guys stand up? These are the men and women who are representing New Hope East Hawaii in our softball team. You can see we have the older guys teaching the younger guys because the older guys like me are pretty much decaying. And so next week, our game is at 9 o'clock at New Hope Hilo. If you want to cheer them on, it is so much fun. And even, where's Keola? Keola? Even, you see, Keola, he plays for another team. But you know what? We're all family. And we lost to them yesterday, 5-3. And we still love him because he is our brother. And we play to love each other and have good fellowship, not like try to slide and knock people over, and that was the old days, yeah. But we just had so much fun yesterday, and I had so much fun sitting on the bench, man. It was the best seat in the house. Yeah. You know, Pastor Courtney and the leaders are doing an incredible job with the youth, and they're starting to grow, so if you know any teenagers or anybody younger than her, then send them over.
Yeah, guys, so that's what we do, and we just wanted to show you, since I tell you, isn't that an amazing video? Let's give it up for what God's doing. And the coolest thing is our youth leaders made that video. And that's how, you know, it's so cool that here at New Hope East Hawaii, we invest in people's gifts and we encourage them and support them and cheer them on as they use it to glorify and honor God. Isn't that cool? Yeah, and so we wanted to show you that video, and we wanted to show you that video because God is doing amazing things, and that is where the future of this church is going, and it's so cool. But if you guys want to ever support that, I've heard people come and talk to me. Hey, Pastor Courtney, how can we support what God is doing in the youth ministry? Well, here's how. We are starting what we're calling a growth campaign. And so what we're doing is we're contending for growth in our leaders, we're contending for growth in our youth ministry, and growth in our relationship with the Lord. And so if you guys want to support us, what we'll be doing in the month of August is be selling Brada Pop tickets, and we will be come see me after service or come see me in the next few weeks, and we will give you the tickets, and when the Brada Pops come in, we will deliver it to you, or we will give it to you here, and we will make sure that you guys get that, and all the proceeds will go to our investment in the growth of our leadership, the growth of all the things we get to do to reach the youth, and the growth in the time that we get to spend to build relationship and share Jesus with the youth. And the reason we do this is all because our mission statement is this, that we exist to show all youth the love of God and to help all youth choose to love God and love people. Amen? Amen. And so that's what we're doing. So if you guys have any questions about youth ministry and what's been going on, or you guys want to come check it out, again, it's this Saturday, August 15 at 5 to 8. Just come eat our food, come see our youth, see what happens, and just see what God's doing, and not in just 3 minutes, but in the time that we're investing in them. And if you guys want to support us in our growth campaign financially as we do so, our first venture is going to be the Brada Pops. And so you can come see me later. I'll be around and we can answer any questions you have and any comments or concerns or ideas. I'm open to listen to them all. And thank you guys so much for all of your support. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. They're doing a wonderful thing with the teenagers, and they're from different schools. You know how different schools can have rivalries where all those walls are broken down and they become friends. Amen. Well, before I dismiss you, why don't you bow your heads and why don't you pray with me? You know, if you have never said yes to Jesus Christ and you want him to begin that good work in you, like the Bible says, and if you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, and just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you pray that prayer for a first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you back there. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. All right. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. You have seen the hearts. And I pray that you would begin that process, Lord, that good work in them, that you would begin to transform their lives. Lord, make them the people that you created them to be, to love you, to love others. So, Lord, I pray that you will open their minds and open their hearts as they begin this journey with you. Give them the strength needed. Give them the friends needed to guide them along the way. And, Lord, let them know how much you love them. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Hey, give a clap of the Lord. Those of you who said yes to the Lord, if you need a Bible, go ahead and grab one at our welcome table. If not, you guys are dismissed. We have some refreshments. You guys want to hang out. If you guys need prayer, stick around. We'll be happy to pray for you. If anything else, go out and love each other. God bless you all. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kiau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.